Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, tools, home essentials, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM. The Jay Allen Show is streaming now on safetyfm.live.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of The Jay Allen Show. We are coming to you live from the Safety FM studios in Orlando, Florida. This is the show that you have asked for, ladies and gentlemen, so we will continue to bring it to you in the format that you're asking for. If you are taking a listen to us right now, we are streaming live on safetyfm.com and on safetyfm.live. And if you do take a listen to some of our other shows, we have been doing some video streaming from time to time, but we are not doing that with this episode here today. But today, I am doing an interview with a person who has been requested to be on the show by you, the listener. So today, I have the privilege of speaking to the author of A Practical Guide to Safety Profession, The Relentless Pursuit. The author also has a website by the name of RelentlessSafety.com. And if you're into snake bites, at least the video, you'll know exactly who I'm speaking of. And if you're not aware, which I'm sure you already are, he is also a founding member of the Safety Justice League. Today, I have the honor and the privilege of speaking to Jason Maldonado. Jason, welcome to the show. You already are aware you've been on different shows, so I'm not going to bore you with some of the same questions, and I'm not going to ask about Creepy Carl or anything to that extent.
Oh, but he's so much fun to talk about.
I mean, we can, but...
No, that's all right.
When I really start talking to people, I always look at it and I go, there's so many things where we can start, and most people want to start off on how did the career start. I really want to start off with a book. Okay. Is really where I would like to start off with you. And how did the book come about? Did the publisher contact you looking for something, or were you actually trying to outsource this?
So I think it was a kind of a combination of three things. It was timing. It was the right message. Hopefully that's written pretty well. And then it was a little bit of who I knew, but no, the way the book came about was actually kind of funny. I was sitting on my dad's porch. My dad lives about 3 hours from me in Albuquerque. And so we were having some beers one Friday night and just reminiscing about stuff. And I was telling him these stories about my mentor from when I first got into construction after I got out of the Air Force. So I was working construction safety, and this guy, Nick, had passed away in 2016. So I was just kind of reminiscing the stories a little bit. And I stopped at one point and I said, yeah, I'm sorry. I know I've told you these stories a bunch of times. I hate to bore you with it or something like that. And my dad looked at me and he goes, no, these are great stories. You need to write them down. And I said, yeah, you're right. He goes, no, you need to write them down. You've been saying you wanted to be a writer since you were like seven and you're not getting younger. So, you know what? I'm going to see you in 2 weeks and I would expect you should have about two chapters done by then.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. So I sat down and just started. I had no idea what I was going to do. So I got a notebook, a piece of paper out, and just started writing down ideas for, you know, different stories from throughout my career. I'd say about 80% of them made it to the book. And then I tried to weave them together into something that was usable. And it started out kind of as a rant about all the things that I've struggled with throughout my career and you know, the wastefulness that sometimes goes into the safety profession. And then I looked at that after a chapter or two and said, you know, this isn't going to be a beneficial thing. So what can I add? What can I put in here that's going to be valuable to somebody that's, you know, either struggling in the same position that I was at those points or completely new to the field? So that's kind of where it came from.
So when you started off with this, had you already started Relentless Safety? Or no. Is this a dual love project then? Because this is where it's really going to get interesting.
Yeah, no, I had no idea. So I wrote the book. It was like this mad, feverish dash. I had some stuff going on health-wise. So it was this totally irrational thought, and I'm fine now. But I was sitting there every night as I'm writing this thing till like midnight. I'm like, I'm going to die if I don't write this book. And so that was sort of my motivation, was to get it out. And I wrote it. I mean, I do not write this fast anymore. I don't think I could keep up that pace. So I wrote it in like 2.5 months, and then I had a book, and I'm sitting there with this thing, and I thought it was pretty good. I shopped it out to a couple people, a couple professionals that I respect, and asked them to proofread it for me. And they all came back, you know, just overwhelmingly positive with their feedback. And then I had no idea what to do with it. So I started reaching out to people that I've, you know, been connected with on LinkedIn or through other social media, and just asking them what they did. A couple of them were, I reached out to Todd Conklin. I reached out to Phil LaDuke, and I knew, you know, they had both published books. And it was actually Todd that kind of pushed me in the direction of Taylor and Francis, which is CRC Press. He didn't, you know, give me a leg up or anything. He just said, yeah, you know, they asked me to do these books. And, you know, I think they have an application on their website where you can do your proposal and, you know, go from there. So I did it and it got accepted. And, you know, like it was just this big whirlwind of stuff that happened within just a few months.
So between that, so you got the book, you're building your company or your website, however you want it, or combination is really what it is. And you're ill. And you still were able to pull this off in a little over 2 months?
Yeah, about the three. And then it trickled into, you know, waiting for the proposal to come through. I think it ended up being about April. So from October to April of October of 2018 to April last year, that's pretty much when it all happened. And the website and then following on after that with the business aspect of it really came. You know, I knew that I needed to get my name out, and I kind of wanted to build a brand, build a reputation. So just started jotting things down on the blog in sort of similar fashion as the book's written, so that people could get a taste of, you know, how I do it, and started putting those things out. That was pretty incredible too. It's just the response that I've gotten. I was expecting to be, you know, blackballed from the safety community for all my heresy. But it helped. I think along the way, I sort of honed in on what my voice is and what I enjoy doing. I like making people laugh, but then I like to kind of stick you with a message at the end and make you think. So that's tended to work better than the angry rants for sure.
So how does this process work then with the book? So you're done in April, you're with the shopping of the book around. All of a sudden they accept it, but it doesn't get released until, from what I can find, August 30th, give or take, of 2019. So are you in a rewriting process during the time, or what's happening?
No, the only thing that was rewritten, and I will say they did a fantastic job just, you know, polishing it up and making it even better than I could have imagined. So they went through an editing process, professional editing process, you know, checked for grammar and all the usual stuff. They didn't change much. We changed a couple titles of chapters because there was, you know, copyright issues and stuff like that. But the only thing that was actually cut, and I left it in there on purpose, was there was one F-bomb that I left in there just to test the waters. But they cut that out. So
this is the Jay Allen Show.
Have you learned about a human and organizational performance and you wanted more?
Well, now is your chance.
Fisher Improvement Technologies is conducting an advanced HOP practitioner workshop. Now is your opportunity to learn these advanced HOP techniques
in this 2-day workshop that is designed to give leaders the ability to understand and manage integrations of advanced error reduction in organizations,
also known as ARO.
Participants are provided with multiple experiential learning opportunities to ensure they can use the information in their day-to-day interactions.
For more information, go to arohp.com. That is AEROHP.com, and click on the link that says open enrollment.
And we are back on the Jay Allen Show on Safety FM.
So when you say title changes, was it stuff that people would automatically recognize that it was copywritten material in regards of the title of the chapter?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's what it was.
So no ghostwriter and limited editing. This sounds really good stuff then.
No ghostwriter. It was all me. Like I said, I kind of gave it out. I gave it out to three people that I really trust. And they gave me some feedback, word corrections here and there. It's kind of interesting. One of them was in Australia, so we had a little bit of a language mm-hmm. difference. So some of his suggestions, I kind of cocked my head sideways too, and I'm sure he read some of my comparisons and metaphors and stuff and thought they were a little silly. But no, I mean, it was a crazy, I don't think my experience was normal by any stretch of anybody's imagination.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because when I pull up information about the book, it's everywhere and it's reviewed in a lot of places. And then you did something that I consider gutsy in the book world, where you decided to move forward and do a hardcover of the book.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a brave move, because that's saying, hey, we're cementing here moving forward with the book, because now you're talking about, okay, we're not talking about something somebody's going to order off of Amazon. They're going to print it automatically. And then all of a sudden it's going to come to them. You're doing the hardcover. Now, was this something that they discussed with you, meaning the publisher, or was this kind of the plan starting off?
No, that was sort of the deal. So it's a part of their line called CRC Focus. And the advantages of it is that it's relatively fast to print. It did take from April to September for the hardcover, but it's only available in hardcover and digital. So there is no soft cover.
So there's no in between, is what you're saying.
There's no in between, and that's just it's their marketing tool. It's one of these very select series that are supposed to be relevant and timely and topical. And they've had good success with it. So I'm happy. I mean, and the book turned out just awesome. So.
Well, I would hope so. You put a lot of time into it. When you were actually on the Accidental Safety Pro with Jill James, you had a discussion that you were planning on potentially a second book. Have you already started that process?
I have. And very much in the same vein as, well, actually I take it back. It's going to be, so the first book was clearly, aimed toward people in the safety profession. And I make the disclaimer in there that, anybody in management can read this and get some benefit from it. At least I think so. And I've had, a lot of positive feedback in that regard too. So the first one was always meant to be geared toward safety professionals. The second one is going to be geared toward, executives and leadership. It's probably going to be a coloring book.
So you're taking the Jimmy Kimmel approach to some extent then.
Right. So the second one is really, how, if I'm an executive or a leader, how do I lead my organization toward a good safety culture, a good safety program? Because everything that most of those people do is based on something that somebody like me told them. And that's a lot of faith, but there's also a lot of, I would say, misinformation in the career field. We still do a lot of things that just don't make a lot of sense. So I want to bring some of the practicality from the first book and translate that into, it's sort of leadership with a safety spin on it. So good leadership, good management, backed up by safety stories. And that's the goal for the second one. And then I actually have, and I haven't started on this one, but I actually have plans for the third one, which will be geared toward, the workers, the people in the field, the people on the production floor, the people that are actually doing the work with tools, and how can they contribute? And I think with those three things all tied together in series, I think that'll be a really nice little package that an organization could benefit a lot from.
Very neat. So are you going to do anything different with the second book in regards of how it's actually being done? Are you going to do that one on paper, or will this be part of the focus series as well?
I'm still up in the air with that. It may be paperback, okay. It may not. I am going to structure it a little bit differently. It's still going to be, told through stories and anecdotes and things that I, just crazy things that you can't make up, which is really the basis of the story. One of my big goals from the get-go is to make it something that people want to read. You know, there's tons of great safety books out there that are just
difficult. Oh, come on. Say they're dry. They're extremely dry. It's like reading a textbook. They're terrible. Okay. Don't be shy. Come on.
So that was the goal, is to make it enjoyable. Like when you get to the end, I had a guy come up to me the other day that he's been giving me feedback as he reads the book. And, you know, a couple of times he's come up and he goes, I don't really know. I don't agree with you on this point. I'm like, great. Let's talk about it. That was the whole point. But he got to the end of it, and I won't give it away, but he gets to the end and he came into my office and he goes, I hate how you ended that book.
So you see, this gives people encouragement on why they need to get to the end to understand the rest of that story.
So let's just say it's a little bit emotion packed, and it's not what you would expect from a safety book. It's kind of a punch in the gut right at the end. So it's kind of a cliffhanger. There are definitely more stories, but like I said, you know, it's a lot of it was based on my mentor. He passed away in 2016, so you can kind of connect the dots. But it was a hard ending to write, and then I just figured it was suiting to put
out there. So when you get to the portion where you actually decide with the name of the book, are you already thinking about relentless safety, and that's why you have portion of it saying relentless pursuit, or is this something that just kind of happens serendipitous on how it actually ends up occurring?
So the book inspired the website. What I tried to do, and when I was writing this, I was listening to an audiobook by David Goggins, who was a Navy SEAL, you know, ultra marathon athlete, and, you know, just crazy successful guy in just about everything he's done. But he's had, you know, he had some really tough struggles getting there. And at the end of his book, at least on the audio version, they did this like challenge, end of the chapter challenge. And it was basic stuff. It was same vein as what I've got here from the safety perspective. But it was stuff like, hey, you know, I want you to write on your mirror in your bathroom what your accountabilities are. You know, what are you going to accomplish today, and hold yourself to that. And then the next chapter would build on that and build on that and build on that. And I just thought that was a really cool concept. But then at the end of it, the guy that was reading it, who was his ghostwriter, would tell the listeners, hey, you know, if you have something that you want to share from this, or if you have a good experience, tell us about your accountability mirror, and use the hashtag can't hurt me, I think is what it was. So like, well, that's a really cool idea. I wonder if I could get that to take off. So I actually used the hashtag relentless safety in the book, and then that turned into the website. So they've always been closely linked.
So are you, at the time when you're writing the book, building the brand, are you doing the traditional 9-to-5 at the time, or what's going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like 9 or 7.
We use 9-to-5, but we know most people are out there like 5, 5:30, so.
Right. Yes, and I still am. So this is nights and weekends, and, you know, everything in between, little breaks here and there. It's been a lot of work. It's been a challenge, but it's been rewarding too. So I've learned a lot from it. I think it's been something that I can take back to my organization. I have taken back to my organization and used a lot of the tools and tips and tricks fairly successfully. I mean, we don't have any kind of scientific data on that yet, but
you can write your own white paper.
right. The message resonates with people, and, you know, the more I get it out there, it's just funny because people find me online and then they come back to work, you know, in my regular job. They're like, hey, I saw your videos. And I'm like, oh, great.
It's like they're stalking you when you're actually, you know, outside of work, which is the interesting part. Now let's talk about the videos, because you put some funny stuff out there. Some of these cat videos are interesting. So, I mean, I look at it. So you're saying you do this when you're not. So this is like something you do at night or on the weekend or when you have time available outside of work. So this is not even your 24/7 then.
No, not at all. And, you know, it's a balance thing, because I have two kids and a wife that I would probably.
a good idea.
Yeah, she just gave me the evil eye.
I know. I mean, based on stuff that when I was doing research about you, I mean, she looked like a professional rollerblader. So I'm not sure, you know, rollerball, better saying. So I would take it easy on what I would say.
Roller derby, yeah. Yeah, she's tough. She's scrappy for sure. This is all. I usually film videos on Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, and then I spend, you know, Sunday night until whenever editing stuff. But the videos came about kind of just out of nowhere. I'm sure you've heard of the company Safepedia out of Canada. I was actually at home sick. I had an ear infection a few months back, and I was, you know, messing around on LinkedIn and chatting with people. And Jamie Young from Safepedia reached out to me, and he goes, "Hey man, I love the blog. I think I'd written the one about my couch at that point." And he said, it was just hilarious. And he goes, "Have you ever thought about doing video?" And so we got to chatting, and we eventually got on the phone together and started talking about it. And I said, "Yeah, man, I've done video before. I did a lot of video production for one of the companies I worked for. And it was fun, but man, it's tedious. And I just don't have that kind of time at the moment." And he goes, "Yeah, but what if I produce them for you?" And so I thought about it for a little bit and tried to think of something that I could add to the mix. You know, there's a lot of people out there doing really great content that are, you know, just telling stories and talking and a little bit of the back and forth and characterization stuff that I do. But I wanted it to be something completely different that would kind of throw you off a little bit. But again, you know, kind of stick you with the message at the end. So
this is the Jay Allen Show.
Enjoy some of your favorite hosts in the safety world.
Enjoy shows by Sheldon Primus, Blaine J. Hoffman,
Jill James,
Mike Sedham,
Rob Fisher, Todd Conklin, and Jay Allen.
FOMO. What will you miss if you're not at Work Human Live? 70 sessions led by industry thought leaders around the most pressing issues in today's workplace. Unparalleled opportunity to connect and network with like-minded peers, earning professional development credits from SHRM, HRPA, HRCI, ATD, and World at Work. A fully human, immersive experience where you can learn and grow and also have fun and be yourself. An open dialogue beyond HR that delves into data behind gratitude, implementing human rights in the workplace, and other provocative issues around the future of work. The chance to be part of a movement to bring more humanity to workplaces and the world. CTA, don't be caught not at Work Human Live. The FOMO is real. Register today at www.workhumanlive.com and use code PODCAST to save $200.
Are you
tired of actually going to a safety event and it's extremely boring? Well, let's go ahead and change that moving forward. Reach out to our team here at Safety Focus Moment
and let us make your next event extraordinary.
We can provide you anything from guest speakers to full-blown workshops. To find out more information, go to safetyfocusmoment.com. That's safetyfocusmoment.com. And don't forget to tell them that you heard it here on Safety FM.
And we are back on the Jay Allen Show on Safety FM.
I mean, and I have to tell you, some of the videos are quite excellent. So Safepedia finds you. A lot of this stuff has been working out for you very interestingly. This is something where you pursued some things. Now they're coming after you. So how does the Justice League land on your lap?
So that one.
Or excuse me, the Safety Justice League. Let me give you the proper name. Let me give you the proper name here.
Yeah, I don't want any copyright infringement problems. The Safety Justice League wasn't even intended to be the Safety Justice League. So it was, I think back in October, Jason Lucas reached out to me. And of course, he does the social media safety minute. And I had just started doing my safety snake bites and a couple other people we were kind of watching doing different content. And he reached out and said, "Hey man, I don't think anybody's collaborating on this stuff. Would you want to do, you know, a collaboration video?" I said, "Sure. Yeah. What do you got? What do you think we should do?" And we came up with a couple ideas. We actually shot some that we never aired. And then we just came up with this really simple concept called Ask a Safety Pro. And really it was coming from that perspective, sort of the same mantra as the book, you know, as we were talking about, you know, providing and giving back to maybe people that are in a place we've been before in our careers. So he, we recorded all these things independently. It was initially it was myself, Abby Ferry, Nathan Brayman, Jason, of course, and then Joe Pena on the first couple. And they just kind of took off. Like people really ate it up. And what was cool was it wasn't so much that, you know, we have all the answers. It was that we started some conversations that people weren't having. And then, you know, this person would add in, oh yeah, I would do this. I would answer that question this way. And there was just so much knowledge that was being shared from all these videos. It was just really cool. And it just kind of took off like a rocket. So we're going to keep it up and we're going to kind of grow that. You know, Abby's favorite descriptor is organically, but I like it. We're just going to keep seeing. We've got some pretty concrete plans now, but we're going to see how the future looks for that. What we really want to do and what we've gotten the most, what I've gotten the most out of from it is the community aspect. You know, we're really giving a voice to people that, you know, maybe don't want to post content or do and haven't ever done it before, you know? So that's something that we're really aiming toward at this point.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting because you guys are getting a lot of impressions, a lot of people looking your direction, but also at the same time, I know just based on some of the research that I was able to do that people make the assumption automatically that you're an overnight sensation. Tell some of the people, some of the sacrifices that you've had to put in regards of getting to where you're at in your career and the things that have occurred just to get to this point.
So all of us and I'll speak from my perspective, but all of us are about the same point in our career, give or take a couple of years. So I've been doing industrial safety for 16 years, started in the Air Force and transitioned out. I've done construction. I've done chemical operations. I've done manufacturing. I've done power plants, transmission and distribution, just all over the map, which is great. And, you know, you get all those varied experiences and you get to see things from different perspectives. But, you know, by no means was it any kind of overnight. You know, I think we appeared in the spotlight pretty quickly, but we've all been around for quite a while. And like you said, the sacrifices are, you know, those for me, at least, you know, moving state moves 6 times in 6 years and, you know, packing up and moving my family here and there and going to little podunk towns that have nothing. And you got to drive, you know, an hour and a half to get to the grocery store. We've done all that stuff and it's been some great experience through it, but it has, you know, it's never easy. It's never cheap. So that's something that people need to consider, you know, eat up as much as you can and absorb as much as you can throughout the journey. But if you're not willing to sacrifice and, you know, go where the work is or, you know, learn from the people that know more than you, then it's going to be a hard road. So that's kind of my take on it.
When you were sitting back in California Baptist University, did you ever think that this is where you would be at this point?
No, I was going to be a famous singer and I'm not. There's no way that's
going to happen. So are we going to get a singing video? Is this what you're hinting at?
I am completely retired from that business, but I'd say I was moderately good. I wasn't great by any stretch.
I think you should make a video. I mean, we need to hear it and see it, you know, full force here. Remember, you can edit.
If you can figure out how to get onto my old MySpace page, you can listen to all my demos.
Okay. So, challenge accepted for the audience here.
There you go. No, I didn't really know. You know, I went to school for communications. I was one of those kids that just didn't really have a goal. I just wanted to do big things. I didn't know what big things were. And so right after college, I worked a summer job and then I moved to Nashville and I tried getting in a band. I mean, I did everything from selling Kirby vacuum cleaners to selling cars, waiting tables, odd jobs here and there. I mean, it was crazy. And then my little brother joined the Air Force and he's the one that kind of got me thinking about it. You know, I was kind of hard on my luck. All my college loans came due and I was just, you know, struggling to make it, to keep paying rent and all that stuff. And he goes, well, you got a degree. You should go down and join the Air Force and, you know, become an officer. And I went down to the officer recruiter and he wanted nothing to do with me because I didn't have a, you know, an engineering degree or mathematics degree or something like that. And after that, I went down to the enlisted guy, and I had never even taken the ASVAB in high school. So I went and took that, scored pretty high on it. And the recruiter came back and was all excited and said, man, you could do anything you want in the Air Force. Here's your two choices.
Anything you want, two choices.
Yeah. So I was either a plumber or a munition systems technician, and I didn't want to be a plumber. I don't know if I'd make that decision differently now, but I mean, they make some money. Those guys are,
you're doing similar work to some extent.
True.
I said it, not you.
I know. Right. I didn't disagree though.
Let me ask a question though. What did you get the John L. Levitar Award for when you're in there?
So the Air Force has, when you're enlisted, before you can sew on your staff sergeant stripe and become a non-commissioned officer, which is E5, you have to go through 6 weeks of just really, I think it's probably some of the best leadership training out there. And every branch has their own take on it. But you have to go through essentially business school to learn how to manage and to learn how to transition from being, you know, just a grunt worker to, you know, supervising people and doing documentation and speaking in front of audiences and giving presentations to the commander and all these things. And they touted it as like a Fortune 500 level training class. And it really was. Everything was flights in the Air Force. So you had your flight of people that you were in, and then you had your class broken up into little, I don't know if they call them squadrons or what. Can't remember at this point. But we had four classes in our flight of these trainees before we were all going to be authorized to sign to sew on our staff sergeant stripe. And traditionally the class leader in each one of these classes was the highest ranking. So they'd been a senior airman for longer than anybody else. Usually meant they'd been in the Air Force longer than anybody else. And you were just assigned that role. You're the senior ranking person. You're the class leader. So I was not. I was promoted pretty quickly. So I was just a regular class member. But I, having my speech background and my, you know, public speaking background, I was able to help coach my class through the more difficult parts of their presentations. And they unanimously voted me instead of the class leader, which was the traditional thing, as their nominee for the award. And essentially what that meant was I was the top graduate in the class, which was a pretty big honor for me.
What year are we talking roughly?
2005, I think.
And boy, what an impact did that have? I mean, take a look at where this has gotten you this far, right?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was a confidence booster. I don't know that it set anything in motion, but it gave me kind of clued me into what I was capable of, you know, in terms of how to influence people, how to help people, how to coach people through difficult things. Because there were some people that were just terrified just to speak to our little group of, you know, 5 or 10 people. And, you know, we really, I can't say that was all me because we came out in, as a team. But we really were able to pull that group together and make something really special out of it. And I still keep in contact with a few of those people. So it was kind of cool.
Now, Jason, do you do any public speaking? Do you go out and talk to crowds of people currently, or is that something you're not doing at the time?
Not doing it at the moment. I just don't have the bandwidth to do it, but definitely is something that I want to pursue for sure.
And I know I probably shouldn't ask you this, but what's your plans for the future? Are you planning on, you know, you're going to build your brand and you're going to just start doing your own thing, or rather not talk about it because potential employer might be listening? Nobody's listening. I always say nobody's listening. No one's listening. It's just us.
Yeah. No one's listening. I'm sure none of them are listening. And if they are, I'm friends with them. The goal has always been to build the brand. I do want to move into public speaking. I do want to move into, you know, sort of the, that kind of circuit, I guess you'd call it. But really where I feel a lot of value and where I think I'm the best is little groups of people and, you know, training them, teaching them the, I don't like saying soft skills, but the non-traditional, the basics that we just don't do. You know, how do you communicate better with your workers? How do you engage better with your workers? How do you look at things in a different perspective or even, you know, how do you say things that don't make them doubt your intentions? Because we do that inadvertently quite a bit. You know, we talk about the business and we talk about the money that we're making. And even if that's not what's on your heart, it comes across as, I don't care about you. We got a business to run. So that's really where I want to take things. My next plans with Relentless Safety anyway, are to offer up some online training modules, kind of based on some of the chapters in the book. One in particular is the writer's guide, to You're Not Shakespeare, So Quit Saying Shall, I think is the name of the chapter. So it's really trying to teach, you know, safety professionals, or really anybody that's doing any technical writing, how to write instructions that aren't based in legal terminology, because those are just useless to people that actually need to use them. So that's kind of the short-term plans. I've got some loftier goals that I'll keep, keep quiet for a little bit. But,
oh, you have to tell us more, but if you're going to hold off, I'll try to drag it out on you.
All right.
Try. Read the word.
For sure, the next two books, the second one I've got maybe 30% done already. And I'm just kind of poking along at it. The cool thing about doing the blog is that I can use some of that, you know, or at least some of the topics are already there. So I just kind of translated into the book material, and some of that's already done for me. So
going back to something that you were saying right before I rudely interrupted you, do you think that there's an actual gap on some of the things that happen between the boardroom and the actual safety person that's there? Do you think that the boardroom should have a safety person in it? Cause that's not just, it doesn't seem to be a common path currently.
I think,
and this is an opinion question, so it's whatever you think here.
Yeah, no, whatever I think. I don't know that there's very many safety people that would want to be in the boardroom, to be honest. So there's going to be the challenge. But I think what the board needs is better education. And I think I articulated it something like, you know, we need to write them better speeches, and change their message, because, you know, all you hear is, oh, well, we're good because we didn't have any OSHA recordables. Well, that's a pretty useless thing to say, but that, you know, if you look at it from the perspective of somebody that's worked their entire career in operations and management, and now they're at the top and that's all they've ever known, you know, it's going to take a lot of knocking on the door and sort of touting a different methodology before those people accept that there's something better. So that's really where I think it needs to go. I don't know that somebody needs to be in the boardroom, but they definitely need an advisor that they're going to empower. I mean, I think a lot of safety professionals are sort of in figurehead positions, unfortunately. And, you know, you can scream into the wind all day long and it's not going to do anything unless somebody says, you know, somebody at a very high level says, no, this is what you say goes. To a degree, I mean, you got to have a little bit of flexibility there, but, you know, you're my professional, you're my expert, we're going to do it this way. And I don't see that happening a lot. I see a lot of safety people that are frustrated because they know the right thing to do and they can't get their leaders to do it. So
this is the Jay Allen Show.
Top Safety Speakers was created with the sole purpose of helping organizations achieve and sustain safety excellence. Top Safety Speakers is recognized as North America's most impactful provider of safety excellence speakers and facilitators. Sustainable safety excellence is not one-size-fits-all approach. That is why Top Safety Speakers have handpicked a wide selection of speakers who impact and empower safety culture and performance, developing leaders in inspiring workplaces for over 16 years. For more information, contact Top Safety Speakers at 866-494-0445. That's 866-494-0445. Or go to topsafetyspeakers.com. I've mentioned it before, but I am not the greatest at getting to places early, especially when traveling and getting to the airport early enough to avoid the I might miss the flight anxiety. That's why I'm excited about our newest sponsor here, and that's Clear. Never run late again to a gate. Clear helps you get through security with the tap of a finger so you can get to your gate faster and reduce the pre-flight stress. Start getting through security in a tap. Clear replaces the need of a physical ID using eyes and fingertips to get you through security. Because you're the best ID out there. Create your own account online before you go to the airport. And once you get to the airport, a Clear ambassador helps you finish the process. Then you can start using Clear immediately. Clear helps you get through the security faster in 65 plus airports and stadiums across the country, with more being added daily. If you are traveling with your family, up to 3 family members can be added at a discounted rate. And kids under 18 are free when traveling with a Clear member. I'll tell you, I've been using Clear for years, even before they actually became a sponsor of the show. Clear is an absolute best way to get through the airport security. It works great with PreCheck too. Right now, listeners of the Jay Allen Show can get their first 2 months of Clear for free. Go to clearme.com/safety and use code safety. That's clearme.com, clearme.com/safety. And use code SAFETY for your free 2 months of Clear. Make sure you tell them that Jay Allen sent you.
Wondering how you can show your love? Head over now to Facebook and drop a like.
And we are back on the Jay Allen Show on Safety FM.
Well, let me ask you one more thing and then I'll let you be. Being as the Safety Justice League is out and about and taking, you know, taking the world by storm, well, if you go based on the Justice League as they have in D.C., they normally take applications. Are you guys accepting applications for people that might be interested in joining your crew?
Well, softly, yes. That has always...
Because you know it's going to come up. If it hasn't come up already, somebody's going to start asking that question soon.
Oh, no, it has come up many, many times. So that's what we're building into the website. We really want it to be a community thing. We're the organizers, you know, but we're not superheroes. Like that's
not, you're not
that's
safety not gods. Come on. Really,
no. Well, a little bit. I mean, no, we're not safety gods. We don't know all the answers, but we want to tap into the people that are out there that have some of the answers that even, you know, that we don't have, and make something really amazing out of it. So that is the whole goal of the Safety Justice League. It's not for people. It is definitely meant to be a community. So we are, we actually released our first video with a guest answerer last week. We're going to do another one this week, and I will say, I'll leave it as a surprise who it's going to be, but we got blown out of the water as far as our production, by our guest this week. He just killed it. So the platform is going to be, at least on the website, is going to be a place where, you know, people can collaborate, people can have kind of a spotlight. We've got plans for that, and, you know, just really have sort of a community feel in the safety profession, because it does get pretty lonely sometimes. And I know that all 4 of us have felt that way at times, and we want to give that support to people that maybe don't have it. So that's, I know it's kind of a non-answer.
But it's a non-answer answer. At least it did cover some of the material, so that's the important part. So question for you, if people are interested in finding out more about you and your projects that you have going on, where can they go?
Okay, so for me, they can go to relentlesssafety.com. You can check out all my stuff. I've got links to the book. I've got links to all my blog posts. You can email me at jason@relentlesssafety.com. For the Safety Justice League, you can go to safetyjusticeleague.com and actually sign up. We haven't fully launched yet, but we're in the works. So if you sign up, you'll get all the notifications when new stuff starts popping up on there. And you can also email safetyjusticeleague@gmail.com and just make sure that you don't spell league wrong
like I do every time. Well, Jason, I really do appreciate you coming on to the show.
I appreciate you having me, Jay.
And this brings another episode of the Jay Allen Show to an end. It will be interesting to see the different things that Jason and the Safety Justice League will be doing in their careers over the next few months and years to come. This has been our show for today. Make sure that you follow us on all social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, you know, the fun stuff. Also, if you want some more information about the network, please come to safetyfm.com. This will bring another episode to an end. Don't worry, because we'll be back in no time. This has been Jay Allen. Goodbye for now.
Want more of the Jay Allen Show? Go to safetyfm.com.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.